We are on the series on the love of God. And this is, I believe, is the third of a series on the love of God. Oh, thank you, musicians. Thank you, worshippers. And we're going to look at some of the things that the Bible speaks to us about the love of God. And so let's look once again afresh to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John. And gain some insights on what the Bible speaks about this love that He has for us. In the book of 1 John, in 1 John, as he introduces the subject of love in the book of 1 John, we see here, looking at verse 1 onwards, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And as he goes on towards the latter portion, in let's read on in verse 5. "This is the message which we heard from Him and declare to you," says the Apostle John, "that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." That God is light, and in Him there's totally, completely no darkness at all. That's a major statement as John writes this epistle. And then, as he progresses into talking about this light, he moves on in chapter 4 of 1 John. And he says here, as he begins talking about love, in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7. Says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." That's another powerful statement. He starts in 1 John to say, God is light. Then he moves on in 1 John 4 to say, God is love. And the thing about this is, he is not talking about two different things. And that is the revelation he's trying to bring forth. That light and love, which are a part of the substance of God, are the same. Imagine the substance of God, and that the substance have different dimensions. And on one side, when you look at it, there's light. At the same time, as you look at it from another aspect, there is love. Because this is the same God we're talking about. God our Father. God is light. God is love. Now what we want to tie up together is this. That what we call love is the same substance as what we will call light in the Bible. And it is the same substance as what we will call life. So life The life of God, Zoe life, that is, the life of God, the light of God, and the love of God, they are all the same substance. They are not totally different aspects that He's bringing forth. Now, we know God is light. God is love, in 1 John 4, verse 8. But we need to seal the fact that God is life. Of course He is. 1 John itself tells us that in verse 2, this life was manifested to us. But when you look at John chapter 1, if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It says in verse 4, chapter 1 verse 4, in Him, that is in Christ, was life. And the life was delight. So there we have established it. The light of God is related to the love of God. And the light of God comes from the life of God. This life is the light. And this light is the love. You could put an equal sign to all three. You could say in mathematics that as far as the Bible is concerned, as far as the Bible is concerned, life equals light equals love. Now, when something is equal, you could interchange it and it is the same thing. Like, for example, if you give me a dollar and I give you 250 cents, in monetary terms, it's still the same amount. You give me a dollar and I give you 10 cents. It's still the same. It's still $1. So, although the impact and the feeling of it is different, I mean, $1 with your $1 coin, it feels just like just one thing. I give you 250 cents, wow, you feel a bit more. Oh, this is thicker, right? Oh, a blind man may say, oh, this actually worth more. No, 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 worth the same. But take, you can feel two coins rubbing together. And then, I give you 10 cents. Oh, that's a lot. You know? Wow, you can wrinkle and make a lot of sound. Ring, 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 10 cents. Right? 10 cents make a lot of sound. Make a lot of sound. And you can walk around with, let's say, you know, $1 is maybe too small for you. Couldn't even afford your char kway teow here. So, now your char kway teow more than a dollar, right? But Chinatown, less than a dollar, maybe you got, right? So, let's say $10, right? You do have your $10, red color, right? Your $10 is red color here, right? Remember, $10. Okay, that's a lot. I could give you, in exchange for $10, 10 $1 coins, so you can jingle in your pocket, right? But if I want to, make, life a bit interesting for you, so I give you, $10 in 10 cents. That would mean 10 times 10. That would be 100 coins in your pocket. So, you know, no doubt your pocket is bulky. Oh, you got 100 10 cent coin in your pocket. Very bulky. You know, but it's the same, $10. Feels big. Make more sounds. Still the same thing. So, remember the substance of God. Whether it be love, light or life, it has different impact for us. But they are equal in substance. We need to get it into our mind that the life of God, the light of God, and the love of God are the same thing. You are talking about the same spiritual substance of God. Let's have more scriptures to bring it forth. John says here, in 1 John, that is, let's look at 1 John. He says, in verse 11, he says, let's read from verse 9, 10, 11. 1 John chapter 2. He who says, he is in the light, and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now, doesn't that say the same thing? You could put the word love in place of light. He who says he's in the love and hates is in darkness. Same thing. Because it's interchanging here. That when you don't walk in love, you are not walking in the light. And you're not walking in the life of God. Same substance, but it has three dimensional impacts. It impacts us as the life of God. It impacts us like a light form. It impacts us as the love. Let's get this into our head and our mind. Because sometimes when you read the Bible, you separate love, you separate light, you separate life. You thought they're three different substances. In the Bible, they are equal and the same substance. And when you see it that way, the Bible reads differently. And that is why he says, if you don't walk in love, you're walking in darkness. At the same time, he says in verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light. Now, why is that so? Because when you're walking in love, you're walking in light, of course you're abiding in light. Can you see the sense it's making? He takes a long time to bring these points out in five chapters. But the point he's making is the life of God and the light of God and the love of God are equal spiritual substance. Let's look at some other statements that he makes here in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. He says here in look at verse 14. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death, and this time he's talking about another aspect, death, spiritual death, to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, doesn't this statement tell you very clearly that love and life are the same? To love is to have life. Not to love is not to have life. Therefore, opposite of life is death. To walk opposite from love is to walk in death. Because love and life are the same substance. Therefore, walking in love is walking in life. Not walking in love is walking in death. Wow. That's the point that 1 John was getting across to us. To see in our spirit mind that life, light, and love are the same substance. Don't you dare divide them into three separate substances. When the Bible puts them as the same. Same substance altogether. We all know to a certain extent, let me illustrate from the natural point of view. We have the sun. Takes about 8 minutes, 11 minutes, whatever, for the light from the sun to reach us. 93 million miles, I think, to reach the earth. If suddenly there was no sun, every natural thing in its fallen state today would die. Because plants would die. Today's plants are fallen plants. Not like Genesis 1. Do you realize that in Genesis 1, the plants were made before the sun? You didn't know that? So let's go back to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, it says here, in verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit, in verse 11, according to its kind. And the earth brought forth, in verse 12, and God saw that it was good. So in verse 13, so the evening and morning were the third day. That was the third day. Now when did he release the light of the sun? That was in verse 14. Let there be lights. And then there was the lesser light in verse 16 and the greater light to rule over the day in verse 18, to rule over the night, the sun and the moon. God saw that it was good. So in verse 19, the evening and morning were the fourth day. Say, hey, look, the plants and the trees were created before the sun. Because before the fall of man, all existence in the physical came from directly from the spiritual life. So that in heaven right now, there's a paradise, a section of heaven, paradise, where there are plants and trees, and they don't exist because of sunlight. They exist because of the direct light from Jesus, our God, the light of God that shine. So once upon a time, long, long ago, all the plants don't need sunlight to exist. And all the animals, all also very good. They don't eat one another up. All very quiet. And all the insects, oh, they behave themselves too. This was before Adam fell. So, what were the mosquitoes doing in those days? Probably part of the symphony. At night, I don't say, oh, come on, give me another tune. Oh, that's nice. And the mosquito go, and on the day he fell, everything went berserk. I wonder which mosquito was the first to taste blood. After the fall of Adam, remember when Adam, before the fall, he could pick up a leaf, a rose, and gave it to Eve, and Eve would say, no thorns. After the fall, he picks up the rose, gives to Eve, and says, Eve, I'm sorry about the fall, here's a rose, and Eve takes it, ah, what's that? What's this? What's this strange pokey thing? It's a thorn. And after the fall, the first mosquito that fell takes a close look at Adam. You smell nice. And we all know biology today, they say it's a female mosquito. So ladies, your blood smells nice. Adam said, what are you doing? I don't know when they lost their language. But at one time, they all spoke one language. So let's assume they didn't lose their language yet. Mosquito says, you smell nice, Adam. And Adam says, what are you doing? Oh, you smell nice, Adam. Chick, what are you doing? First mosquito bite. Well, there was a lot of first after the fall. First mosquito bite. And then the first time the lion lie down with the lamb. You smell very nice. I don't know what is this, but you smell very nice. The smell of lamb chops. First lamb got eaten by the lion. I mean, there were a lot of terrible firsts. And blood was shed. So, all the plants, all the animals, they exist in perfect harmony. We don't need the sun to give life to the plants. So today's animals are all fallen. Today's plants are all fallen, much as they are good today. And if the natural sun were to stop shining right now, all biological life would die in its fallen state. Because plants need the sunlight. And animals need to eat the plant. And humans, they eat both plant and animals. So all biological life would die and cease to exist. Life in the natural. So dependent on the sunlight. How much more spiritual life flows from the spiritual light. There is light. There is life. And it is also love. So the Bible tells us that life equals light equals love. And they're all the same interchangeable substance. Which is why this verse in 1 John 3 tells us that if you don't walk in love, you walk in death. And if you don't walk in love, you're not walking in light, thus you're walking in darkness. That's what 1 John was bringing forth to us. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, he tells us here that in verse 16, and we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So life is equal, that's the life of God, is equal to the light of God, is equal to the love of God, and these are all the substance of God. If you abide in love, you're abiding in the light. You abide in love, you're abiding in life. If you abide in love, you are abiding in God who has life, light, and love. Powerful words. Now, how does that impact us? Remember, clearly in your head and mind, that life, light, and love are the same thing. Say after me. Say life, light, love are the same thing. Thank you. Sama, sama, sama. Although there's no three, right? Always sama, sama, isn't it? But this is too powerful. So sama, 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 sama. Right? All equal. And in the mathematics, they got a way to write it. They put three equal signs. 100% in equivalence. That's life, light, love. Now, having established that, here is where every time you read where there is light, remember, it's also talking about love. All right? And every time when you read about the life of God, it is also talking about the love of God. See, it's not just 1 John that is talking about love. So any other passage in the Bible, when it talks about substance of God, when it mentions light, it automatically is talking about life and love. And whenever it mentions light, of course, it is love. It is included. Same substance, viewed from a different angle. And you see that. Once you see that, you begin to understand that at the very beginning when God created the world, God spoke, right? First words recorded as spoken in Genesis 1. When the Spirit was hovering over all creation, God said, "Let there be light." And the light came. But remember, light was love. Mm-hmm. You got a revelation. So it would be also like God saying, "Let there be love." Oh, the microphone can't take it. And love was there. It is the same like God saying, "Let there be life." Same thing. You got it in your heart and mind now. And so when that substance of God went out, remember, this part of the universe was dark after the fall of Satan. Dark. So when he released that light, he was once again releasing his love to come into this sector for creation again. It is like we were actually born out of the substance of God's love. Now when you read the Bible, when they say God breathed his life into Adam, what else can you read? That God breathed his love into Adam. Love is the substance of life. The substance of life. That's the revelation that 1 John came to bring. And now when you read some parts of the New Testament, look at Ephesians 1 and see light as the life of God and as the love of God. And you begin to see how Ephesians chapter 1, it says in his prayer for them in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 to 17, he says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, and the Greek words here says being enlightened or being flooded with light. He also says the meaning here, being flooded with life. The meaning here also is being flooded with the love of God. Because life is light, light is love. They're all interchangeable words in the substance of God. So what we were flooded with was the light of God. So whenever God's light come and you look at it, it is actually the love of God. And you look at it, the other side, hey, this is God's life. So when his spirit of wisdom and revelation brings a revelation into our lives, it is not just light. It is light, of course. It was his life flowing. It was his love flowing into us. Therefore, we can say this. In the absence of love, there is the absence of light. And of course, the absence of life, there will be no understanding. That will be a correct statement. Since the light in Ephesians 1, verse 18, is bringing this revelation, it's a powerful prayer. Ephesians 1, that the revelation of God will open the eyes of our understanding, that we may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. That's a powerful prayer. That prayer is also a prayer of the love of God coming in, because the light of God is the love of God. And when that prayer is answered, it's powerful. It establishes in the flow of the revelation of God, the understanding of his wisdom, the understanding of his revelation. Oh, the light of God. And that is why the opposite of it is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Remember here in Ephesians 1 verse 18, the eyes of your dianoia being flooded with light, the Greek word says. And Ephesians 4, the opposite of it, of the Gentiles in darkness, in verse 18. In verse 18. Look at chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. We are still in the book of Ephesians. Therefore, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding or their dianoia darker. Now, isn't that absence of light? Absence of light for what reason? Look at the next line. Being alienated. That is being separated. From what? From the life of God. Hey, that's the same thing like 1 John. If you cut off from the life, you cut off from the light. That's why there's darkness there. Same thing. Same principle working. But what we add from 1 John is, you cut off from the life, you cut off from the light, you are also cut off from the love. So you can't sense the love of God anymore. And God has given them up unto judgment. Oh. That is why it says, because of the ignorance that is in their heart, because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling. See, they have no more tenderness of heart, no more tenderness of love. I could give you hundreds and hundreds of verses to show that all over in the New Testament, based on John's revelation, that life equals to light equals to love, is applicable in all these verses. The Bible does not separate the light of God from the love of God. The Bible does not separate the life of God from the love of God. Love and light and life are all the same substance. To be cut off from one is to be cut off from the other. The same thing he's talking about. And how does it impact our lives as we look at this verse? Well, look very carefully in the prayer in Ephesians 3. And this looks like just a prayer for love. But it ends up more than a prayer for love. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says here, in verse 14, Paul's prayers. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. In other words, the life of Christ. Yes, the light of Christ. Yes, of course, the love of Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith. Now, bear in mind that faith is energized by love. Galatians 5 verse 6. Through faith. But faith cannot come unless love energizes it. All related again. And it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, he says, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now, what is the fullness of God? Where God dwells, there is light. And in Him, there is no shadow of turning. The fullness of God is equal to the love of God. Because the love of God is the light of God, which is the life of God. All interrelated. If you receive love, you automatically receive more light. If you receive love, you automatically receive more light. And that is a revelation we must grasp in order to understand that in everything that God does, it is purely an impartation of His love, light, life. It starts from the day we met Him. God so loved the world that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is the everlasting life? It's light. What is the everlasting light? It is His love. So that when we believe in Him and we say, yes, Lord, thank you, I receive, I believe that you died on the cross for me, His life comes into us, His love comes into us, His light comes into us, and we can see things clearer than ever before. They are the same substance. And each time Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, especially for them, when he asked for more light in their life, he was literally also in a sense praying that they will grow more in love. Because being rooted and grounded in love is to be rooted and grounded in the light of God. It's to be rooted and grounded in the life of God, which brings a greater measure of His fullness in our life. That is the revelation of 1 John. How does that apply to our life? Which means that whenever you are not showing love, there is no light coming out from you. There is no life coming up from you. Only darkness. And thus the Bible tells us to abide in this life, to abide in the light of God, to continue in this light, we must continue in this love. And He tells us some practical points here. When we learn to be channels of God's light. In the Old Testament, they have the tabernacle of Moses, and of course, the same thing is found in the Temple of Solomon. The temple, or the tabernacle of Moses, divided into three sections. The outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. In the outer court is a brazen altar and a laver made of bronze. In the holy place is a candlestick and the altar of incense and the table of showbread, all made from gold. When they enter into the second veil, into the Holy of Holies, there's only one furniture there, which is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, on the outside outer court, natural light shines and they can burn the sacrifices. And they have the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. Now don't forget, the holy place is all covered up. So how do they see to go around? The candlestick. The candlestick is lighted up, and those seven lamps give light in the holy place. Because you need light to see. No, no, just like right now, you off all the lights, it's dark. So they need light. The candlestick gives light. And they can see, the priest can take the bread, they can partake of the bread, they can do whatever they need. There's light inside. What about the most holy place? What light is there? No need natural light. The Ark of the Covenant contains the presence of God. The presence of God gives up its own light. The presence of God is the light there. So the Holy of Holies is not dark. It's lighter up. If you were the high priest serving within those instruments there in the holy place, you will notice behind the veil into the Holy of Holies, you will notice the other side is lighter up. But not by a natural light, by the supernatural presence of God, which is a light in itself. And that light enables the high priest, of course, once a year to go in and put the blood on the Day of Atonement. We need light in order to see, in order to get around, in order to understand and do things. But now that we understand that this light of God is equal to the life of God, is equal to the love of God, and we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, that when we were born again, God puts His light in us. And the first light that came is in Romans chapter 5. It tells us here, in Romans 5, verse 1 to 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, rejoiced in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the love of God is poured out into our hearts. Remember, you could also replace the word love with life or light. So let me do it and say it here. Hope does not disappoint because the light of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Or you could read it. Hope does not disappoint because the life of God. The life of God has been poured out into our hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. Same substance. The substance of God. In the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, inside contain three substances. One is the pot of manna from the old Israelite time in the wilderness. Another is the tablet of Moses that is kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And the third is the rod of Aaron, which was also Moses' rod, because Aaron became his spokesman and hold the rod for him and hold it high each time they used to do the miracles of God. All the miracles that Moses did was through that rod. And it became the rod of Aaron because Aaron was a spokesman and he would do everything that was required. And that rod was placed into the ark. We know that rod represents resurrection power because when it is placed in the presence of God, it produced leaves and almonds. We know that pot of manna sustained them. We know the tablet contained the law of God. Now, they are all interchangeable. But you could start with any one of them. The manna can represent life. After all, it fed them through the wilderness. It fed them in the natural. And it can represent life. The rod can represent resurrection power. And resurrection power can represent the Holy Spirit, which can represent the candlestick, which again can represent light. And then you have the tablet. The tablet represents the law in summary. What summarizes the law? Love summarizes the law. So in a sense, you got pictorial form in the Ark of the Covenant. You have life, light, and love. But of course, they're all interchangeable. Sometimes you can look at the manna and see it as representing the word. Then if it represents the word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, it's also light. And sometimes you can look at the area of the law and says, wow, this law represents this written word, and not only is it summarized in love, it represents life too, because the word is life. So you can interchange it because life, light, and love are interchangeable. And so those three and only three symbols were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. That was, what was the Ark of the Covenant for? It was a symbol of God's manifest presence that got placed into the ark. And in Romans 5, when the love of God came into us, the day we were justified by faith, the life of God came. Right? We must receive life in order to be born again. But love came too. Life came. And we must have light, because we need to be free from darkness into light. We have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So all three has to take place. In one shot, through Christ, He imparted life, light, and love. Poured into us. And that's why He says now in a new commandment, to love one another as He has loved us. Because in the old covenant, He just summarizes it, love God, love your neighbor. But the new commandment, is why new? Because it is Christ who says, love as I love. The new is that we have been given the love of God to love others. The new in the sense that you don't try with your own energy and love. What is the difference between the new commandment and the old commandment in summary? Old commandment summary is love God, love your neighbor. What is this new commandment? What is so new about it? It's new because you can keep the old commandment, love God, love your neighbor, by the love that He gives. Not by our own love. He's not asking us to love God by our own love. He's not asking us to love our neighbor by our own love. He's asking us to love by the love He has placed in us. The love that He has poured into us can now come forth from us into others. And that is why 1 John was written. To tell us to love one another as He has loved us. And all of Christian life is based on this love, light, and life. Now let me illustrate with light, L-I-G-H-T. Light is so important. In the spiritual world, this is how the system flows in the light of God. There is God on the throne with His almighty awesome light. And then this light flows through the first layer of heaven. Heaven is in many layers. The first layer of heaven receives this awesome light. Ooh, it goes through this. And all the inhabitants of the first layer of heaven receives that light. Now that light goes through them. It's refracted through them. It goes through them, and then it goes to the next layer of heaven. There are many, many layers. And then the second layer receives from the first layer, which receives from God. All the time it's the light of God. It's not anyone's light. For only in God is there light. Not your light, not my light. It's God's light. And then it goes right through. And then the next layer, the third layer, receives from the second layer, which receives from the first layer, which receives from God's throne. And so it comes down, right down, until it reaches the planet Earth. So the light we receive has been refracted through many, many layers of heaven, and it reaches to us. But all the origin of the light is God. And that is why sometimes when an angel comes, depending on which section of heaven they come from, they bear the same amount of light that they live in. And so, a being, for example, in a higher heaven, come to a lower heaven. Of course, the lower one is darker than the higher one. And so their light looks like very bright light. I mean, this light is tremendous. But you've seen what stadium lights look like, right? This is only fluorescent light up here. But let's say we replace all of it with this huge, giant stadium light. They just shine, and we put it lower, right over you, right? Ooh, it's too bright, right? You know, light is nice. Light is nice to read. But if the light is just shining all on you, oh, too bright to light. Even sunglasses don't help. Right? Too bright, too red. You can't see anything. You're blinded by the light. So it is refracted to the degree that we need of that light. But all the light comes from God. But here is it. All impartations are impartation of this light in life. So what happens is sometimes you could be praying. Let's say, remember Jesus praying in Gethsemane? Jesus says, on this earth, he came and all this. And when God needs to strengthen him, how do the angels strengthen him? In Gethsemane, he was praying. He was taking upon himself the burden on the sins of all the world. And he prayed until his blood sweat like blood falling. And angels strengthened him. You remember in the Bible, angels strengthened him. Better read the Bible. Some say, hey, got angel. I didn't know got angel strengthened me. Hey, got blood. Yeah, got blood. Right. Let's look at the Bible. And now, let's look at some of the prayers at Gethsemane that Jesus was praying. Not all the Gospels write about this angel strengthening him, but I can assure you, definitely, he was strengthened. In chapter 22 of Luke, it says here in Luke chapter 22, verse 41, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared. See, there was an angel. An angel appeared to him from heaven. What did the angel do? Strengthening him. Now, Jesus was praying. How did the angel strengthen him? How do you strengthen someone in prayer? I mean, it's not like Jesus was lifting a stone and an angel helped him lift a stone. How did the angel strengthen him? Any guess? How did the angel strengthen him? The angel would have been commissioned by God to take a measure of strength or life or spiritual substance, and he would bring it down to where Jesus is bowed in prayer, and somehow in a spiritual manner impart it to him, strengthening him. So something was imparted of the light of God, which was the love of God, which was the life of God. And so Jesus felt strengthened. I can tell you that right now, some of you, you know, you might have a very heavy lunch before you came today. So heavy that your eyelids are so heavy right now, trying to open. Well, we talk about the love of God, you say, yeah, I love you too. And you're falling asleep. And so that, you know, you could be just so tired, or maybe you're working so hard, you know, you've been really working hard, and you know how sometimes you just need a little bit more strength. You know, if an angel come from heaven and just touch you, shoom, you would have a lot of strength. Yes. Oh yes. And sometimes some of your angels try to do that, but you run away. You know, angel appear. You know, just one sister I know long ago, she was there. She's now, I think she's a pastor in Penang. She's in our ministry. So she was seeking God and praying, you know. And it's always when you pray, you don't always have all the light switch on. You do a little bit dim, a little bit dark, just enough so you can meditate, not so distracting. And she was praying, everything was dark in the room. You know, after midnight, everything very quiet, dark. Put a few cricket sound, and midnight, slow. Then she felt this presence come into the room. Her eyes was closed, and she felt this presence. But it was after midnight, very dark, single lady. Say, Lord, she says, I believe this is you, but please don't show up.
in case she got frightened.
And so to this day, she wonder whether she pray correctly. Maybe she say, "Oh Lord, give me strength to take your manifestation." You never know, because some of you know, you hear this testimony, wrong prayer. Wait till your turn. And then some of you might have experience where you're in prayer, and then you feel your spirit coming out, and then you go frightened. Hey, who's speaking me? Where am I? Is this the devil? You know, come out, you know, get out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out from where? You're the one coming out. You know, you get frightened. And I know so many people, the angel of God is taking in the spirit, and they got frightened. They say, you know, they say, and they got frightened, they drop back, choom, back into their body. For 10 years, they're now waiting for the angel to take them again. So, it's, now the spiritual things can be, you know, some of you got this revelation, God is going to appear to you. Oh, yes, but he never tell you when, correct? Could be any time. Maybe, you know, wait at night, deep at night, when it's all dark, then you see this bright light come into the room. The carnal mind say, this is the devil, right? Spiritual mind recognize God straight away. So you do not know. But the angels try to strengthen people, impart upon people. And that's how the angels strengthen Jesus. And that's how spiritual impartation is. You see, it's more than words. More than words. Because we all are vessels that bear light. And this was done by a particular person called Frank Lobach. He wrote a book called Prayer, The Greatest Force on Earth. Very, very old book. And he talked about our thoughts as prayers. So he's always sending out. All of us are like light bulbs. But what we are sending out are thoughts and prayers and all that. And so he talked about how he experimented with it. Sometimes when he's on a train and someone is in front of him, he will send prayer thoughts to this person. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus loves you. Of course, he didn't say it out, right? He didn't, you know, stand behind the person and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus loves you. No, he was frightening to the person. He just sent thought waves. So he sent loving thoughts to the person. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And somehow the person's spirit responds sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes he felt this person's spirit respond. And then this person would turn to him and says, and start talking about life. Start talking about God. And he got so many incidents that he came out in his book and he says, he believes that people could sense this impartation that is going out. That we all are like transmitters of God's love. You can't help it. If there's light in you, it shines. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Of course, he said in the context of doing good deeds, or being a testimony. But outside of that, it is not what we do, but what we are. And so, when it talks about the love of God, John tells us, don't love in word and deed alone. Don't word and tongue alone, but love in deed and in truth. So the love of God that flows through our heart, which is the light of God. So this is what happens. Whenever, you know how you can love a person without telling them you love them? Of course, it's nice to tell them too, if you can, in a proper way, of course, right? And you genuinely mean it. And you could show your love in many areas. And so whenever you communicate love in your actions, in your prayers, or in whatever way to another person, remember what you're communicating? The light of God, the life of God. Remember the interchangeable thing. And so what is happening is, whenever you project love, which this Frank Lobach tests out, whenever he sends it out, he realizes people respond to it without even knowing it. And it's so successful, he called it, you know, a thought prayers in his book. He's sending out. He said, is that scriptural? The Bible did say in 1 Corinthians 13, love thinketh no evil. So when you love a person, you also think no evil about them. You send out loving thoughts. Now this is what happened, which is a true reality. A lot of people, they thought that love is just some concept somewhere. They don't realize it's a lifestyle. And so, before they approach a person, in their mind, you're saying, their mind is already saying, I don't like you. I just don't like you. I don't like your attitude. So the mind is shouting out, don't like you, don't like your attitude. And then this person, of course, cannot hear the other person's thoughts. But there's some barrier already broken. Because when you withdraw love, you withdraw light, you withdraw the life that's coming up from you. So your light is no more shining to that person. Now apply this in your family. Apply this in your family and you realize this. It is not just what you say. Love not just in word and in tongue. Love in deed and in truth. What is truth? Truth is a lifestyle. A life. Truth is something that affects your spirit, soul and body. Your thought life, your action life, your being. Jesus said He's the way, the truth and the life. And remember this, parents. Your children sense your love more than what you say. And people can sense it. You could say with your mouth, I love you, but your head, in your heart you say, I don't like you. Yeah, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yeah, I love you with the love of the Lord. But inside your heart, your mind, you're a nasty person. You need repentance. I think you could be living in sin. Something is not consistent. So the love is not flowing properly. And somewhere in the person, they will react not to just your words, but to your very thoughts. They are being transmitted. It's not, they might not read thoughts, but the influence of it is not flowing out. For if you love a person, you have to love with your heart. You have to love with your mind. You have to love in your thoughts. And it's very important to do so. For in that manner, love flows. So the next time, you know what is happening when you're helping your children and all those things? When the love just flows out. Without what? Sometimes you don't say anything, but your thoughts are full of love towards them. Right? We got enough of people using mouth to say they love. We need more people to say their thoughts full of love. You say, oh, Pastor, is this scriptural? Yes, this is the New Testament, the level of Christianity Jesus came to bring. In the Sermon on the Mount, He says, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot enter into heaven. In the Sermon on the Mount. And remember on the Sermon on the Mount what He says? He says, you know, you might say, you know, the law says don't commit adultery. But if in your heart you desire that, that's done. He said that. He says the law says don't kill. But in your heart you go angry against a person, that's it, you're already a murderer. You murderer. In your heart. In your thoughts. The New Testament not only wants to change our action, it wants to change our thought patterns, our thought life. And that is why the love of God needs to be transformed until it's flowing out through us in our thought life. That, think about it this way, there is absolutely no one in the world that you should have bad thoughts about. Your family, your children. And a lot of people, they don't take the actions, but their thoughts reveal. And you know what it's like in heaven? Everyone's thoughts are revealed. Welcome to heaven. And in heaven, you cannot hide your thoughts. Whatever you think, we know. Can you imagine living in a country where everyone's thoughts are broadcast? Imagine every one of our thoughts, you know, there's a big screen that shows what you're thinking. Wow, that's what heaven is like. Which is why only true reality comes out. And in the spiritual world, it should be that level of standard. Where I know when some people say, wow, that's tough. It is easy because the love of God is already shared abroad in your heart. And all you have to do is allow the thoughts of Christ to flow out through you. You might not be able to say, I love you, but you can say, Jesus in me loves you. Good start, good start. I hate you, but Jesus in me loves you. And as you allow the Jesus in you to flow out to love, and they take over your thoughts, because perfect love casts out darkness. And as it flows, and this is all you need to do. You know how we strengthen one another like the angels strengthen one another? Sometimes all you have to do is to be able to just, I coined these words, project your love. Yes. And you could say prayers of love over a person. Like Jimmy, let's say I want to strengthen Jimmy. So I will pray loving thoughts for Jimmy. I say, Jimmy, you know, in my mind I say, Jimmy, Jesus loves you. Oh, Jesus loves you. I lift you up before Jesus. And Jesus' love just flows through you. Jesus loves you. Now, in the spiritual world, when people do that, you would immediately feel this flow of energy coming to you. So that in the spiritual world, for example, if I think about you or you think about somebody, they know you're thinking about each other. So in the spiritual, you know, heaven is so big, right? Huge. No postman. How do we know where to go, what to do? Huge. No postman. No GPS either. No need satellites. Because in heaven, when you see Elijah, you will know it's Elijah. In heaven, you know as you are known. 1 Corinthians. And so when in heaven, if right now I'm thinking about, my father who has gone to heaven, if I think about my father, straight away, either my father comes to me or I go to my father, or we know that each other is communicating. And heaven is such, is not like limited by the law of reduction by the inverse proportion of the root squared. So that here I think of love towards you. I send my love to my father, let's say, you know, I say, Pa, I love you. And so from here, he say, Pa, I love you. Pa, I love you. Pa, I love you. And he so far cannot hear. No. The same energy that you send, Pa, I love you. Zoom, the other side, Pa, I love you. Exactly same. No diminish in the energy. And so that is happening in the spiritual realm all the time. And that reality is flowing. So that when you relate to one another in your homes, in your families, one of the reasons why a lot of disharmony is there, hidden in the ground, is not in their actions necessary. In their thought life that is flowing. Sometimes there's angry thoughts flowing around. And it's floating about like a dragon or demon doing dragon dance around you. And sooner or later it's going to come out. You might not say it, but it's already floating around. You must replace it with good thoughts. I better give a scripture to do all these things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us here, this is the thought realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 5, and 6. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. Do you notice the word? Every thought subject to Christ. That is the standard of Christianity. Now, we're making it easier for you because you say, well, how to bring every thought? All you have to do is make sure the thoughts are thoughts of life, love, and light. That's all you need to do. Any other thoughts that are not in line are not of you. Don't allow it to flow through you. And give you more scriptures on this area. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. So, as we send thoughts, you will find a difference in your home. You not only banish the wrong words, when you bring to the faith movement, they tell you, confession is possession. Oh, everyone very afraid to say the wrong thing. Right? They guard what they say. But now take it one step further. Thinking is reality. Oh, whatever you think, it's a real thing. It's a real substance. And we go one step further to realize as a renewal of our heart and mind to think loving thoughts. And I like Frank Lovach's book, although it's a very, very old book, because it starts at the most basic, where you just keep thinking, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And you're projecting Jesus' love to people all the time. And yes, you're projecting Jesus' love to people, it changes you. Changes the way you look at people. You're not talking about whether you like them. You're talking about Jesus loves them. And you're allowing that Jesus loves to flow. And these are the side benefits. Whenever the love flows, light flows. And if you can test this to be true. When you surround your children with love, your children will receive light and wisdom. They receive life. And they will grow up very, very intelligent and well-being. Children who are robbed of love begin to feel very hard to develop all their intelligence. Because a lot of times, when we had a church in Malaysia, we had a huge Sunday school. And some of the children who come in, they have been through all kinds of traumatic experience in their home. Some of the homes are not believers. But as they begin to understand about the love of God, they understand that Jesus loves them. They understand the love of Jesus, and they begin to express the love of Jesus to others. We could see some of them are failures in their classroom. Always exam results come out. F9, 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 F9. 1, P8, F9, F9, F9. Some of them, their grades begin to improve. And in fact, there were few of them became top A students, which would have been impossible. Why? Because light has come into them. With light comes wisdom and understanding. Because when we provide the environment of love, light comes, wisdom comes. And in the same manner, if we desire more the things of God, when you want to read God's word, you want more understanding God's word, you enter more into the love of God. And remember, an investment in love will always bring a return. It will draw people back to God. That is why God is confident. Why did God send His Son to us, die on the cross, before we accept Him? Who made the first move? God. He must have a lot of faith in love, correct? God has faith in investing in love. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. What confidence! We haven't even responded to Him. We were still enemies of God. He invested His love in us because He knows the power of love. The only reason people walk in sin and do the wrong thing is because there's no light. There is no light, they walk in darkness. Of course, people in darkness will behave like they're in darkness. And how do we bring light there? Because light comes from love, and it is love. You bring love in. Bring love to any place. Bring the true love of God. Bring it to the darkest red light district. Bring the love of God, the true pure love of God. I can assure you, it will turn the criminal's heart to God. Bring the love of God. Some people say, oh, you know, how many times must you keep loving? Look at David Wilkerson. He turned a whole bunch of gangsters to God. When the gangster Nicky Cruz wants to come to him, you know, and he is a gangster. And as Wilkerson comes, he say, oh, you got nice shoes. He took off his shoes and gave it to him. Went back with his socks. He act love, he show love. And you read the biography, Cross and the Switchblade. When they threaten to kill him and cut him, you know what he says? You can cut me to 1,000 pieces and every piece will say, I love you. The gangster don't know how to handle this guy. At least if you try to punch me, I punch you back. This guy says, you cut me to 1,000 pieces, every piece will say, I love you. He has planted a great church. A little ministry of one man's vision. One man's investment in love is repeated worldwide until even in your country you have some of those results. Long ago, I know, because some of the semi-students of my classmates, they work in some of these drug rehab centers. Side effect of this multiple ministry. Invest in love. It will always produce a return. Invest in love. Believe in love. God had faith in love. He loves us before we respond. Let us follow the example of God. You love us, and you know that that love will bring a return. Because no one can escape that love of God. And no matter how far your children have been, invest in love. Don't stop loving them. Don't stop loving them. Keep giving unconditional love. And if your spouse or your life partner you're praying about, or one is walking with God and the other not walking with God, if you're the one stronger spiritually, invest in the love of God. Your spouse will turn around. Before, you might have been investing in something else. What investing? Well, every day you say, hey, repent, repent, repent. No love. You don't know when you're going to come out of hell into heaven. Oh, horrible. I married a hell-bent person. You're not investing in love. Invest in love. Unconditional love. And you say, oh, I will love you when you wash up, clean up, come out of hell, all these things. Jesus invested in us when we were hell-bent. Enemies of God. I close with a story. There's more on this lesson, but just to understand that love, light, and love are related. And I close with this story in Luke chapter 15 of a picture of God investing, the prodigal father's investing love in his son. And I can tell you, these two sons, they're strange fellows. You all know the story of the prodigal son. I won't read all the passage, but I want to read what the father did. When the prodigal son came to the father in chapter 15, verse 11, man had two sons. The younger said to his father, give me the portion of my good. He divided it, he took it, and he went and spent all on the wrong things, wasted his life. And in the end, the son spent all his money, and in verse 17, he came to himself. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Right? He's a rich young man, got his inheritance, and spent all his money in verse 14, lost all his money, and he worked for people taking care of pigs. And in verse 15, He joined himself to the citizen of that country. He sent him to his field to feed swine. And in verse 16, he was so hungry, even the pig food looked so delicious. Poor fellow. You must be very, very hungry to look at the pig food and see, well, very nice to eat. Until something in him tells him, hey, why am I here? My father, he took care of the servants. And his father was an example of God our Father. Unconditional love. And the father not only loved the two sons. Look carefully. The father also loved the servants. Right? Other people treat their servants badly. This prodigal son's father, what was the thing that touched the son? You think the son fully came back to God? No, he's still thinking about himself. He's a selfish rascal. But God loves you. But the prodigal father loved him. He wasted all his living. And in the end, when he was looking at this pig food, thinking how delicious, he said, hey, my father got better food. If I will work for my father, I at least got good food. Look at what's happening here. He was impressed, not by the father's love, because I can tell you, a lot of people don't understand love. You say, oh, I love you with the love of God. You say, hey, stay away, stay away. They don't understand love. And when you project the love of God to people, it makes them uncomfortable. Really? Makes them want to hide. Remember what is love? Light. And people who live in darkness cannot stand light. So they go, retreat more into darkness. But don't give up. Keep loving. What was the prodigal son impressed? With the way the father took care of his hired servants. He said, yeah, even my father's servant are better fed. Was he thinking of the father? No, not yet. He was thinking of his own stomach. Right? Probably related to Singaporean. Food. Glorious food. Food, food, glorious food. Means a lot to him. And he says, oh, my father's hired servant, they got bread, they got food to spare, and I'm still hungry here. Let me go back and work for my father. That's what he wanted to do. He actually didn't want to go back to the father, full stop. He wanted to go back and work for the father so he got food. Oh, his stomach drove him. And in the end, he arose and went back to the father. But you look in verse 20. And he came to his father. The father, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran to him. Ran. Not only walk. He ran to him. This is a picture. The father invested in love. Here comes his son, and he ran and he received him. And the son says in verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father says, bring the best robe. Bring the best lamb. Bring the sandals. Bring all these things. Let's celebrate. The father loved him. That's the father. And when he came back, and the father celebrated, and when you look at that, in a way, did the younger son learn about the father's love? Not fully yet. Neither did the elder brother. The elder brother come, also not a loving guy. He hear all this party and all this thing going on, and the fatted calf, you know, in those days they keep a fatted calf, the one kept for slaughter, for a party. He must have heard his fatted calf disappeared. Why disappeared? Oh, father took it for your son, your brother. And in verse 28, he was angry. He was angry. He would not go into the party. The father, look at how nice the father. The father came in and he says, you know, look, pleaded with him to go with him. But the elder brother said in verse 29, I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. You never give me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. As soon as this your son comes, who does all these things, you kill the fatted calf. And in verse 31, the son realized. This is the father, he says. Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. And you know what the elder brother missed too? The elder brother never realized that the father loved him. You could sometimes live next to love and don't know love. And yet, if you keep investing in love and investing in love, one day, like the bread cast on the water, it will return to you. The prodigal son's story is left hanging. We do not know the ending after that. But I'm sure the elder brother must have gone in, and the younger brother too. And he said, in real life, is there such a thing? Yes, occasionally humans, I believe, inspired by the Spirit of God in an indirect way, reach a height of love. Long ago, in a Reader Digest, that's the story of a bride who was married to one of these people. And because it was an arranged marriage, the husband never loved the wife. Mistreat her, abuse her, do all kinds of things. Make her suffer. Never give 1 ounce of love to her. And it's a true story in a Reader Digest. Because it was so powerful a story, came out. You might have read it. One day, the husband, sick and dying, maybe not dying, and he had some problems where he was going to lose his eyes. And then, in the end, when he was, you know, after he got the operation and someone donated the eye, and when he saw his wife come and visit him, again, always loving, always caring. All those years of abuse, she kept on like a servant, loving. And then when he saw, after the operation, his wife came in with a patch over the eye, you know what the wife did? The wife gave her eyes. I mean, he could have left him blind. In spite of all the abuse he threw at her, when he was in need, she gave her eye. And all his years of hatred melted. He knelt at the knees of the wife and said, please forgive me. All these years, I don't deserve you. And she might not be the prettiest wife, but she was a loving wife. And the end of the story is, he honored and he treasured her for the rest of the life. And that story came out in the Reader Digest. You invest in love, it will always return. Sometimes it takes a long while to return. Sometimes you want to give up. But if Jesus never gave up on us, you never give up. You keep on giving out love. Keep on investing in love. And one day, when it comes back, it will come with the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we pray That even as we learn that giving out love is giving out life and giving out light, we ask, O God, that You will teach us. Because in our midst today, Lord, we are a people who are born to love. But we struggle to love at times. Because true to nature of our human nature, we all do not love easily. We are rebels to Your love. We were enemies of Yours. Yet You invested in us and invested in us until one day we respond to Your love. Father, we pray, Lord, for families represented here. In our midst, I want to open a call of God. And to encourage husbands, do not take your wives for granted. Sometimes you can take those closest to you for granted. And I encourage wives, don't take your husbands for granted. And I encourage parents, don't take your children for granted. And I encourage children, or you who are adults and you got your parents still alive, don't take your parents for granted. The Holy Spirit's call to our lives is this. We must invest in love. We must keep investing in love even when our soul is hot and the sun bakes our back. We must keep investing in love because it is a right thing to do. Because it will transform our own lives for eternity and it will transform the lives of those around us. In the same manner, I believe every church should be born out of love. Which is why our church is just a few weeks old. We want to invest in a teaching series on love. Because the key to church growth, the key to spiritual growth, the key to transforming other lives is not by the gifts of the Spirit. It is by investing our love. Investing our love, our life, our time with people. We must give up love. We must sow in love. Must be like a farmer. And true Christianity is giving out love unconditionally. We thank You, Father. A new commandment give unto You. A new commandment. Indeed. Thank You, Lord. Touch our lives afresh with Your love, Lord. Let's all arise together. A new commandment I gave unto You, that You love one another as I that You love one another as I have loved You. By this shall all men know that You disciples, if You have love one for another, by this If you have loved one for another. And as we close today, you need to go. God bless you. But here's a call of God. Perhaps in your heart and in your life, you struggle in your love with someone close to you. Or you could say you could love the whole world but accept this person or that person. We're not asking you to do anything or to actually go to that person, because sometimes all this takes the timing of God. Reconciliation has its own time. But what's most important is this question that we ask you. Are you able to start sending thoughts of love to these people? It might not be conducive to be face to face with a person because the other person might not be ready. But in your life, if there's any person, whether it be a former relationship or whether it be a loved one who you quarrel with, or perhaps even your very own loved ones under the same roof, your love for one another has grown so strange. You're under the same roof, but you don't really love each other like you loved before. You haven't lost your first love for God, but you might have lost your first love for your husband or your wife. Your relationship might have been stale. I mean, you can love God and put God first in your life, no problem. But remember how you first loved your wife, your husband. Or remember how you first loved your children. Remember when your children were born and you held them in your arms so helpless. But now maybe they've grown and you face difficulty trying to keep loving them unconditionally. Remember, invest in love. Because this is your future, this is their future, and this is building the new work of God. Or perhaps some of you came from churches that really were not practicing love. Perhaps you come from a place, or Christians have hurt you. They talk Christianity, but they don't live Christianity. I know. I have been on the receiving end of that too. But no matter what, this must never happen. We must not become like one of them. We must not become like one of those who stop loving people. We must not become like one of those people who claim to follow Christ and don't walk a loving walk. The world is full of them. But let us not add to the number by ourselves being one of them. Let's change the world by us being one of those who are different, who are true disciples of Christ. No matter what people do to you, you will give them love. No matter what you suffer, you will not have unforgiveness, you will release love. No matter what persecution you go through, or misunderstanding you go through from believers, Christians or unbelievers, you will not hold back love, you will give up love still. May we be true disciples of Christ and true disciples of love. Not all of us might need to answer this call because you know your heart. But sometimes we just need a little strength, a little pat on the shoulder, a little encouragement to walk in love. And I know it is tough to love. I've gone through situations where my own marriage was almost blasted to bits. When my wife and I sat down and we said, look, we can either go forwards or we can let this destroy us. And we make a covenant and we say, and this is what my wife and I, when we rebuild our lives, we said, I still love you. And she said, I still love you. Well, we will build on that love. And our relationship is solid today because we invested in love. I know some of your marriages could have gone through difficult time, but invest in love. Perhaps it could be relationship with your father, your mother, your loved ones, your brothers, or Christians here and there. We all don't have opportunity to reconcile. I don't have opportunity to meet everyone who has done things wrong against me, or all those things. But in your heart, you're determined to think love and give out love to all. Let us join the disciples of Jesus, of which Jesus says, "By this shall all men know you are my disciple." A true disciple is not one who knows to quote the Bible from Revelations to Genesis or Revelations. A true disciple is one who walks by love, who has mastered the art of investing in love. We have met God who invested in us by His love. Let's be like God. Invest in love. And as we sing a new commandment, and in your heart, in your life, you do struggle with your own internal feelings to love, then you come, kneel on the front here, the altar. We will pray that the love of God will be strengthened in your life, that it will give you the increase the love in your life, so that your thoughts could be transformed, your actions could be transformed, that you could love like Jesus loved. A new commandment give I to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I love you. By this, oh man, know that you are my disciples. If you have loved one for another, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. And as you stand in His presence, if you are with your husband or wife, spouse, can you join hands with them where you are? And if you are as a family group together, then hold hands with your family together. And the rest of you, just lift up your hands to the Lord. We're going to pray for God to seal His work of love in our heart. And I know some of you, your spouse are not here with you, but we're going to pray for this love of God to flow through you, to change your life, to change their life. Father, we lift our hands before you. And we ask, oh Father, that your Spirit will reveal your love to our hearts and lives. We pray, Father, that you would teach us to love as you love. And we pray, Father, that you give us this understanding that the only reason we continue in darkness is we have not continued in love. And that the only way to bring the light of the gospel to the family is to bring the love of God into the family. And Father, we pray for marriages here. We pray that you will strengthen them. We pray, Father, for marriages that have been many, many decades long, that you would keep their marriages strong in you. You would have husbands love their wives and wives love their husbands. And for those whose spouses are here and their spouses are not here, Lord, they are here. We pray for their spouses, Lord, in proxy. We pray, Father, that you release this day a revelation and a revolution of love. That you will cause a determination of love, a fixing of love, a covenant of love, to walk like a true disciple of Jesus, to invest in love, in the home and in the family. We pray for families represented here, Lord, for fathers with their sons and daughters, mothers with their sons and daughters, and children with their fathers and mothers. We pray, Father, for an investment of love. We pray, Father, that you will give a strength to love, a boldness to love, that we will walk in your love. And then you give and stir the hearts of love among your people. And you seal this into the hearts and life. And Father, we pray that you remove and wash away by your love and the blood of Jesus all the pain, all the hurts, all the anger, all the anguish, and all the heartaches, and all the rejections, all the loneliness that has filled lives because of the absence of love. And we pray, God, that you saturate in your own supernatural way by the power of your Spirit. Shed abroad your love afresh. Let Romans chapter 5 verse 5 take place even now afresh. Pour your love into our hearts. Pour your love into our lives. Fill our lives with your love. Fill our lives, O Lord, with your love. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill our minds with your love. Fill us so full of your love that it overflows through us unto all those around us. Let your love fill and overflow through us, Lord. And seal this work in our life. And this day we make a covenant of love, that because we are the disciples of Jesus, it is a commandment that we walk in an investment in love. We will invest in love. And every day is a new day to invest in love. In times when it's difficult to love, we will draw on your love and walk and invest in love. Father, we invest our lives in your love. And we choose to live by your love. For by your love, Lord, there will be revival and transformation. Seal this into our lives this day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Father. Now may the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, let His glory shine upon your life. May the Lord go before you, cause you to prosper throughout all your working days in life, throughout the many days until we meet again. May this light shine upon you in your daily walk, in your daily work, in your homes, in your offices. The light and the face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. and pour out goodness and mercy each day of your life till we meet again to worship Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Ah, yes. Prophetic booth will be here after the service. And there are new books that are available at the back. Books by Pastor James, Adrian, Pastor Jedediah. And they're all out for sale besides our own books. And available in the back counter. Praise God. God bless each one of you. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.